Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
I had so much to read today, there wasn't enough room to put it on that paper, so I'm going to read it. And this is Judges chapter 10, verse 6. Start. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sowed them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was so distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, and from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, and from the Zidons, also the Amalekites, and the Moabites, and did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet ye have forsaken me, and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Cry, go, and cry unto gods, which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." I read this a couple weeks ago in my daily reading, and it really got a hold of me, and to do some studying with it. And the question I want you to ask yourselves today is, do you need God or not? Think about that. This is a question I want each of you to think about this morning. Israel needed to make their minds up to whether they're going to serve God or not. They were like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down, up and down. And we only serve God when it appears to be convenient for us. And point number one, I want you to think about this. Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now, this wasn't the first time. This has been over and over and over again. They were a regular yo-yo. And you would think that after all their experience with God, they would have learned something. Israel, time after time, would serve God and then fall back in doing false gods. And because of their evil, God let trouble come into their lives every time. They would let an outside army come in, take them back to their country and be slaves to them and all. And in this case, for this incident, it was for 18 years. Now think about this. They didn't just start praying to God after 18 years. They were praying for God the moment they lost and was going. They've been crying to God for 18 years for him to deliver them out of this. And then, as I said earlier in the previous thing, the quote, verse I'm going to quote is Jeremiah 17:9. I quoted this, I think it was last week or the week before. "But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And for me, knowing the problem is half my battle. If I know what I am and who I am, I can deal with it better. And if I know my heart is desperately wicked and there's always going to be a problem fighting God, to me that's half my battle. So now I know I got to be very careful. Knowing this, I need to be on guard every moment of every day, because I know my heart wants to go the opposite direction. It's inherited in me. We call it the sin nature. And knowing we can go backwards just like Israel did. And isn't this in the Bible to teach us lessons? For us to realize that we can go back because Israel did it so many times. And yet God was walking with them and talking with them and all. And then Point number two, it says, then God says, did not I deliver you from your enemies? And when I think, I'm only going to hit a couple highlights real quick here. Did not, in time after time, God deal with Israel in a neat way? And I think, number one, the plagues of Egypt. All those plagues, I mean, they were unusual plagues. The darkness we discussed earlier, you know, the death of the firstborn. I mean, a lot of unusual situations. Pharaoh would release them and let them go and eventually get into the promised land. How about the parting of the Red Sea? Now, for me, I'll never get over the parting of the Red Sea for me personally because I watched Charlton Heston. But they did a good job in that movie, parting that and the waves up there and all that. To me, that was awesome. And I know how it's affected me just reading about it and watching the movie. Can you imagine being there when it happened and seeing this happen? I mean, to me, how do you forget something like that? And then you got the crossing of the Jordan when it went into the Promised Land. And I taught this, but maybe you've forgotten about it. But the Jordan was at flood stage at the time they crossed it. It went way beyond its banks, and yet it said it stopped. Not only did it stop, but it stopped way upstream at a previous town, which I don't remember the name of it. But and they walked on dry ground. That's a miracle. If we dammed up some river right now, you couldn't walk on dry ground. It'd be muddy, thick. You'd sink in the mud or whatever. But here, again, and then feeding the manna coming from heaven every day. Their clothes never wearing out, guys. They went through the wilderness. Their shoes never wore out. 40 years and your shoes never wear out. I mean, that's, how do you forget things like that? The manna, the quail that he brought in. Twice Moses hit the rock where the water came out. I mean, these are unusual things that happen. The wall of Jericho, the way it fell. And that's a miracle in itself. We're not talking about little walls here. We're talking about huge walls. That, matter of fact, Rahab the harlot lived in the wall. That's how wide it was. And yet all they did was walk around that on the seventh day, blew the horns, and the walls came tumbling down. Now, they're sitting outside the wall. In case you haven't realized this, the walls fell in. Now, there's another miracle. What wall didn't fall in?
Rahab's.
Huh?
Where Rahab
lived. She lived in the wall. It's interesting. And all this going on, and we just hit the tip of the iceberg, and they don't remember this stuff? And somehow start worshiping false gods again? And each of us can remember, as Christians, God working in our lives. And do we forget things easily? And the next thing you know, we start worshiping false gods. Now, we don't worship false gods in that sense. But we do. Our false god today, to me, is self. We start serving self, what we want to do, which generally pulls us away from God. Though we don't go bail. I mean, we can worship a motorcycle or a house or a business or whatever. And anything that takes us away from God would be a God in itself. So our faith, when we come here, our faith should be growing. When all these miracles take place, Israel, these faith, I mean, when you walk through the Red Sea and see that, your faith should have grown. When God answers your prayers today in neat ways and all, your faith should grow. So the next time you have a problem, you should be able to go through it easier. And yet Israel goes the opposite direction. So the third point. Next, God tells them, go cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Now this may sound hard, but I want you to understand something. God will at some point draw back. Just like we talked about the hardening of the heart. At some point, God will do that. We just don't know when and what will happen. And here we see God telling his people, go ask the gods you worship for help. He says, I ain't going to help you no more. Israel wants to live the way they want to live without God until they run into trouble. And every time they ran into trouble, they didn't go to Balaam. They ran to God. Please help us. They always knew where to go when they ran into trouble, but didn't know how to stay with God. They kept going with self. And every time they kept running back. And God said, enough is enough. He says, go back to the gods you have been worshiping. Let them help you. Yeah, like they're going to help. Didn't happen with Elijah, did it? I like what Elijah said. He's sleeping. Yell louder. Wake him up. Maybe he did that. Said that too. He actually said, maybe he's out visiting someplace. He can't hear you. He said that. That's not a God. And technically, if you believe the Bible, there is no other God. That doesn't exist. God is the only thing. That's why, by the way, if you look in your Bible, every time you see what is known as a false God, the G is a lowercase. That's indicating that's not a God. When it's God talking about God, it's always uppercase. We must be careful that this doesn't happen to us. And it will happen to us if we, and as God gets tired of playing games with us and our lack of faith, as we fall back again and fall back again. God's going to let us simmer in the mud, so to speak. I mean, even the prodigal son says, hey, you know, I'm sitting here eating the swine food with the swines and working there. He said, at least I can go back and be a servant of my father. At least I live a little bit better. It's nice to know that if your heart is in the right place, and only if the heart's in the right place. See, you can't just go back to God and say, oh God, I'm sorry. But if you truly are repentant, God's mercy will kick in and bring you back with the intent that you're going to stay and serve him. He's going to forgive. And that's the greatest part about our God right now, going through this time of mercy and grace. At the same time, we must be careful that we don't become a yo-yo. And one moment, oh, we're prayer warriors when we get in trouble, are we not? We can pray for hours when we get in trouble. And then when things are going good, next thing you know, well, we skipped our devotion today. We didn't read our daily bread. We didn't pray as hard. Oh, I prayed for 5 minutes today. I didn't pray for 30 minutes today. Or I was too busy. Had to go to work. Had to work overtime, whatever. Something always becomes more important when things are going good. You know, at the same point, God is going to say, go to your people. What have you been worshiping? At some point, he's going to let you just whittle in the mud. He's just going to sit back, and hopefully you'll learn a lesson. And some people never learn. Somebody right now is dear to my heart. It just hasn't gotten to the point of saying and changing his life. And it breaks my heart to see him live the way he's living right now. And especially when I even told him, I said, do you remember the days when you were doing things with the Lord and how your life was pretty reasonably good? I mean, you enjoyed it. You never had a complaint. And I said, can you stand to live the way you're living right now? And when I think of Dwayne, most of us knew Dwayne when he lived here. I mean, his whole life has changed. I mean, every time you talk to him, he's excited about the Lord. But yet, his life was miserable when he was here. I mean, he just, everything that bad could happened to him while he was here. And just to hear how things, I haven't heard from him for a little while. I use that to get something from him every once in a while, giving me an update. But I don't understand sometimes. I'm personally scared to go backwards because I enjoy God's blessing in my life so much. And it scares me to go backwards. Maybe that's the beginning of the fear of the Lord. I mean, there's more different things about the fear of the Lord. But I don't want God's judgment on me. And I know that if I go backwards, it's going to be like the prodigal son or anything else. He's going to put things in my life to draw me to come back, just like I would do to my kids if they were going bad.
Proverbs 1.
I want to explain two things to you that just happened to me recently. One is a guy named Marcus that lives in California. I led him to Christ about 3 years ago. Actually, Gary was with me when I led him to Christ. I met him. The only time I see him is at Biketoberfest or Bike Week in Daytona. He lives in California. He works for the company that sells Affliction shirts. He works for Affliction, and you can buy them in the mall, I think. And real expensive T-shirts, but I will admit they are extremely well built. They never shrink. They're made a little extra long, and the material is very unusual to fit. If you put one on, you'll go, wow. Especially in the summertime. They're the most coolest shirts I've ever... I never bought one, but he gave me a couple of them when I first met him. And I got one even for my granddaughter. And you put that on, and have you been on? I saw you wait. Yeah, they're unusual, but they're expensive. $65 for a T-shirt. I mean, very expensive. But anyhow, that's how I met him. He was set up behind me, and I got to know him. Well, the first year, I had an opportunity to witness a little bit to him. Nothing happened. The second year, when we came back for Biketoberfest, whatever, which one it was, we went out to dinner. And on the way back in the car, I was able to leave him. I pulled off the side of the road and led him to Christ. Well, since then, I would send him material. He gave me his address. I sent him, you know, different churches that I got from BJ, and they would tell me churches in this area. I said, go visit him. I would try to make sure he was reading his Bible and all, and I said, you need to grow. Well, last year, a Biketoberfest, he pulls me over. I'm at the shop there. He's on Main Street, but the shop was in a different place now, where a Corbin shop used to be. And I was in there, and there wasn't a whole lot of customers, so he sets me down, and he says, Glenn, I'm going to tell you something. I can't live this Christian life. He says, I'm giving up on it. And I said, well, I know you can't. He goes, what? I said, yeah, none of us can. He goes, I don't understand. I said, let me try to explain this to you. And what I said to him, I can't give you, we don't have enough time to go through all of it, but basically in a nutshell, this is what I told him. I said, let me give you an illustration. I said, number one, you're trying to live this Christian life, right? Yeah. Okay, I said, that's where your mistake is. You're trying. I said, you got to let God work in your life. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. The whole purpose of coming to church and reading your Bible and praying and going through all this is that God will work in your life. Now, here's how it works. I said, now, for you have to think something else for you, but for me, I always use cabbage, sauerkraut. Both of them, I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand to eat it. I would literally upchuck if I had to eat it, but my parents had a rule. If anything that was served on that table, you had to eat a teeny bit of it, whether you liked it or not. And I used to have to take ketchup and pour on it to the point that all I ever tasted was the ketchup to keep it down. But guess what? When I became an adult, I fell in love with cabbage. Especially when we went to that restaurant. I couldn't eat enough of it. But I love it. And I said, now that's what happens with the Lord. I said, I changed from inside, not because my mom made me eat it. I changed somehow. Something took change inside. I said, that's what happens with God. I said, you didn't get saved by yourself, did you? No. It required your faith in God, right? I said, now you got to do the same thing with everything you feel that's wrong that you're learning as a Christian. Well, I went through that whole thing with him. He called me. I didn't make it this year, but he called me from down there. And he says, Glenn, I can't tell you how everything changed in my life. I mean, he was so excited. And he starts saying, I stopped this and I thought that. And he says, it's working. And I said, well, you're doing it the right way now. And see, God's working in you to change your life. And then I think of another thing that just happened recently with my son. My son's gotten really pretty close to the Lord. And he's went out and ventured into a new business, and I mean, he's out 100% in his business right now. And he went through a door that he thought was open, that he felt it was God's will. So we went through this door, and it was meaning to buy a trailer, a covered trailer, to put all his stuff in, to go and wash. He'd wash his motor homes and things like that while he was doing that. And after he did that and purchased it, a little while later, wasn't much later, the door completely closed. Another door opened up. Now it's with airplanes. So now it's motor homes and airplanes. And the airplanes pay astronomical amounts of profit doing them. He's going to school to learn it. They're going to train him in it and all. And they even made the school available for free to him and all. They really like what he does. What they saw what he did on cars. See, he just didn't wash cars. His average job was $300 to $400 per car. So it wasn't just a wash job. And they were so impressed. The people do motor homes and all generally have money. And they come in, when they take off and they come back 3 days later, they want that thing sparkling again, ready. And they never know when they're going to get back in, take off again. And that's what he does, and he makes really good money. Well, now he told me, he says, Dad, he says, the other door opened up with that. Now this other door is closing. He says, it's kind of weird. And I said, well, that's what you got to learn to do. If the door opens, go through it. If the door closes, go find it in the next door God opens up. And God, if you're in God's will, he's going to open and close doors as you go through life. Now he's excited to no end. He talked to me for 45 minutes without me saying a single word. My wife kept looking at me. He says, are you talking to somebody? I said, yeah, Glenn, he just won't shut up. He was just so excited about what God did. So I told him, I said, son, two things I want you to remember. Number one, give God the praise for everything going on to other people. In other words, share with them. Unsaved, that what God's doing in your life. Number two, he told me that when he prays to God, he prays as if he's talking to somebody right on the same table. He says, I pray that I don't understand that. And I said, son, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. I said, that's what I try to teach people. Everybody thinks praying is something unusual and you can't say certain things to God, but that's not true. You can ask God why. You can be confused. You can go to God as long as you're willing to follow God's will. Even Jesus Christ did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. That, to me, was the biggest lesson. Learn. When he said, let this cup be taken away. But he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And that's the attitude we all have to have. And I said, son, you keep going. You're doing the right thing. And he said that his first month now, he doubled his income when he was working for somebody, when he left the other job. And he just so excited. So I kept saying, son, put some money aside. So when it drops down, you don't have enough work, you have plenty to live on. He says, I'm going to do that. I'm planning on doing that. So I've been excited. But see, these are the lessons that apparently Israel had problems with. Everything was going good, and what did? They stopped serving the Lord. They started doing other things because everything was doing good. And then God withdrew his blessings from them. And that's why I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't want God to stop giving me blessings, stop opening doors. Stop. And that doesn't mean I get everything I want. But it's so exciting to be thriving, to do what God wants to do, because in the long run, he ends up blessing, and what goes around comes around, I guess is the old saying. You know, you end up sometimes getting the very thing you gave up for God. He turns around and gives back to you. I'll finish this in closing. When I built that Honda that looked like a Harley, I'll never forget going down the road one day and finally saying, you know, I'm never going to own a Harley because I raised in a family. I just ain't got the money to buy one. It just is never going to happen. And I remember going down the road on that bike and saying, I guess I'm just going to be content with this and I'm happy with it. And 3 months later, I owned my first Harley. Now, see, to me, it was when I gave it up, God turned around and gave it to me. Doesn't mean it's going to happen every time I say that, but it just showed me that God has been that way. I'll share one more quick blessing that just happened, and it happened just this morning. Normally at Heritage, people at Heritage give money aside. In other words, they put it in the offering saying, give it to State Line. And every month I get some money. Sometimes it's $5, sometimes it's $10, sometimes it's a couple hundred dollars. It's never the same amount. It's always something. This is just somebody that throws in the offering and says, give it the state line. This is beside, Heritage gives me a regular amount every month as well. The church does as a whole, as a missionary. Well, since January, I haven't gotten one penny. Not one penny. All 18 years, I've gotten something. Maybe one month I might not get something, but most of the time I always get something. 3 months now, I haven't gotten a dime. And I actually got down and said, you know, Lord, you're in control, and it doesn't matter whether I get it or not. And I actually prayed that prayer to the Lord. And this morning, I had gotten it yesterday, but I didn't open it up. And I thought it was just my monthly check, because the monthly check comes one time, and then maybe a week later or 2 weeks later, the whatever people contribute comes as another check. I opened that check up, and it was $1,700 more than the support. And my mouth dropped. And I had to look at it 3 times. I said, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. I cleaned my glasses, I look, and I went, what on earth? And I went, Lord, you're in control. That's all I know, you're in control. And I said, $1,700? Where did that money come from? Well, I know it came from the Lord, but you understand what I'm saying. I was just overwhelmed. And I couldn't go back to study. It was like my breath was gone. It's hard for me to say, but it's God taking care. He never gives me a lot of money. Oh, let me rephrase that. That might have been a lot of money, but what I'm saying for the ministry, we always have enough money to pay our bills. We never have a bigger bank account. Never. But I never failed to pay a bill or go to a rally and have the money to pay on the rally what we normally do. He always supplies just enough money. Never gives me anything extra that I can brag about. But it's interesting that for 3 months I didn't get a single thing and all of a sudden I got this check. Now why it came this way, no, I have no idea. But again, God's showing he's in control. And I don't need to worry whether I get it or not. Because if it don't come this way, it'll come that way. If it don't come that way, it'll come that way. I don't know. But if God wants me in this ministry, it's going to keep coming. And it's been over 18 years, and he hasn't failed me yet. And he's that way for all of us that know Christ as our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven,
we pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.